I mentioned earlier this hour, we've got something a little different for you to finish out the noon hour, and we're going to be talking a little bit of show music from the Firehouse Theater, Wings, that is going on right now, opened on February 15th and continues through March 10th, through next weekend, and they've got a special talk back with the composer who's going to be in town next Thursday, March 8th, after the performance. I've got Bianca Bryan, who is our underwriting credits announcer.
Yes.
I think that's the official title. She is here, and she's the star of the show, director Kerrigan Sullivan is here, and music director Kim Fox. Thank you all for stopping by.
Thank you for having us.
So let's start out by talking a little bit about what the show's premise is and how it involves a little bit of a tie-in with classical music.
Well, the show basically follows Emily, who's the main character played by Bianca, who has a stroke. It doesn't exactly sound like your typical musical material, which makes it unique. And it really follows her journey of recovery. And it's from her perspective, which I think is what's really interesting about it. It has a very classical score, very lyrical score, and it's, you know, almost entirely sung. There's some very small bits of dialogue. But it's a really different perspective on an event that's very, I think, very moving, very engaging.
Since we're talking about that, the music, how it involves Emily's character, Kim, can you talk a little bit about what's going on here? I know there's some varied meter changes, a lot of rhythms, and the music is constant throughout the show.
The music is constant. I would almost describe it as a chamber opera. Mm-hmm. The meter changes reflect, to me, the struggle Emily has just learning to speak, trying to understand what other people are singing or saying to her. And the melody is kind of angular in spots when she's reflecting back on her past life. There's a definite change. It's very melodic, very lush. So it flips back and forth between those two worlds.
And that sort of highlights Emily's struggle. The music is really like a character in the play.
Exactly.
It's really unique, you know, as a director approaching this. It's very different because the music is so much informs what's happening and is so much a part of the play. Even when people are speaking, there's all the there's underscoring. And if you listen to the music, it tells the story.
Oh, absolutely. I remember back to our first read through where we were actually just reading the lyrics.
Super awkward.
I know. But then once you hear the music behind it, it absolutely informs the character and informs the story. So it really takes it to a next level. It actually started as a play.
Mm-hmm.
And
started as a radio play, actually. Its first variation was on the NPR.
On NPR.
And then it was a straight play, and then it was music was added.
In 1992, yes. It was first written in 1978. So, and the music just definitely brings it to a different place, and I think allows the audience to feel the struggle that Emily is feeling in a different way. Because it makes you, it's very unsettling, I think, for the first 20, maybe 30 minutes of the show.
Mm-hmm. And there are a couple of pieces, a couple of songs in the show sung by different characters, which inject some much-needed comic relief.
there are some laughs.
It's okay to laugh. And
Yeah, but it is. I think that the one of the goals of the piece is that in some ways the audience's journey during those first 20 or 30 minutes mirrors Emily's disorientation and her uncertainty about what's going on. And so it can be sort of a jarring experience for the audience members, but generally you kind of come out on the other end and go, wow, that was really cool. You know?
And we've had people come into the show completely blind and not know what it's about, which is a very cool experience, I think, for the viewer as well, because then the viewer is figuring the show out as Emily is figuring out what happened to her as well.
Yeah, so it's an echo of the process, which I think is really, it's just a fascinating way, a fascinating piece because of that. And the Emily past also, as Kim mentioned, you know, you have these juxtapositions of the different sections. Emily was a wing walker, which is one of the things I think is most fascinating about her character as well, which, you know, and so she, as she goes through this sort of traumatizing event, what she goes back to and holds on to is her memories of walking on the wings of this of these airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is very different from a traditional musical. You know, we're talking about, hey, there's a musical at the Firehouse Theater. And
it ain't Oklahoma.
Right. People that are listening to this show right now are probably wondering, what's the difference here from a traditional musical? What are they What should they expect when they walk into the firehouse if they're interested in coming and seeing this, which I hope they are right now?
Mm-hmm. There's no 11 o'clock number. There's no big song and dance. Mm-hmm. It's just the story told through song.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to brag for a minute. I have two wonderful musicians from VCU, Taylor Bendis on flute and Maddie Erskine on cello. And some amazing assistance from Stephen Rudlin, our vocal coach. He's mm-hmm. the best.
And yes. Kim, I noticed the flute and cello. So this is a little different from a traditional pit in, mm-hmm. in a musical.
Sure.
You know, flute, cello, and piano.
Why not?
Well, I agree. It's just a little different.
It just enhances the whole chamber orchestra feel
right.
of it.
It is so beautiful. I mean, there are times, now that I know what's going on stage and my job is kind of done, that I've actually sat just in the theater and just closed my eyes for a while and listened. And it really is, I mean, it's such a visceral experience, the music itself. And then, of course, you know, there's all these other elements. It's a very technical piece with a lot of lights, a lot of sound. The soundscape, actually, not just the score and the music, but the actual soundscape of the piece is also another element that is really interesting as well and very different and just a unique experience.
Mm-hmm. You have sound coming at you from all different parts of the theater, which as mm-hmm. going through the experience as Emily really adds to the kind of paranoia and unsettling
mm-hmm.
Place that she is in the yeah. beginning. It's fantastic.
And I would think that the venue probably helps to mm-hmm. really make this piece that much more special as opposed to doing it in a bigger theater.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, the firehouse is a perfect space for this piece because you are intimate with the audience. The audience, you have that surround sound, and it really brings you guys, you know, you're in this space all together, and the music is right there, and the people are right there, and there's just the energy and the immediacy of that is really lovely.
So you hear Bianca here on WCVE, but you can hear her in an entirely different light on stage.
Yep.
And you're singing for virtually the whole show,
yeah.
aren't you? So what's it like to pace yourself for that amount of time?
Well, it definitely was. it took some work. And thanks to Kim Fox and Stephen Rudlin and, of course, Kerrigan, mm-hmm. we really kind of paced through rehearsals. I studied it as a classical opera singer at Manhattan School of Music, but I haven't sung this way in a really, really long time. And I had just sung Hedwig and the Angry Inch back in December, which is a rock and roll musical. So to flip right over back into kind of the classical genre, thank goodness we had the rehearsal period. And then it was really just an exercise in stamina, and it mm-hmm. still is. Sometimes I'm singing the show, and I'm like, okay, you got to pull it back a little bit, Bianca, because you still have this number and this number with these notes to go. So, but it's been a great exercise.
I think about it, and it's almost the equivalent of you singing two classical recitals back
yeah.
to back.
Mm-hmm. It's a marathon.
It's that demanding.
That is a marathon.
Yeah. And she's amazing, by the way.
So. Well, we do want to hear some of you performing. You brought an excerpt, yeah. so let us know what we're going to listen to right now.
This is Clouds, and this is towards the end of the show where Emily is figuring out what has happened to her. She has just entered a rehab facility at this point.
There are times it goes in and out so fast. All the sounds I know they mean, want to hold, but they fly fast like the clouds. Strange helps to get the darkness out. Oh, how quickly life can change like the clouds. And there are times I think the end, I mean of death, always there. All these thoughts. going home. No, it's something you push through like the clouds.
That's an excerpt from Wings, of course, playing at the Firehouse Theater. And performances tonight and tomorrow night, also next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, all at 7:30. And there's a talk back with the composer, Jeffrey London, who will be in town next Thursday after the performance, right?
Yeah, it's a really unique opportunity. A lot of times, you know, with talkbacks, you get to talk with the director, the actors, which is a really, I think, a great way to enrich your experience of the process. But it's rare that you actually have a playwright or composer there. And so I am really looking forward to having him. It's going to, this piece especially, because the music is so much a part of it. And for him to also be able to share with us what the journey was like also adapting this straight play to this amazing score and really bringing it to life through the music, I think is going to be a fascinating experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm going to ask him.
We got a whole list of things.
I know. But as far as we know, the play was kept completely intact and just put into the music. So that will be an interesting conversation to have to see how that actually happened.
Yeah, and a real neat window into the process of making and creating art, which is, you know, what we're all here for. So,
That will be a wonderful experience. Again, that's next Thursday, but there are other performances running through March 10th at the Firehouse Theater. The website is firehousetheater.org. And I should mention Book and Lyrics by Arthur Perlman. We didn't mention him.
Oh, well. He's important, too.
Very important.
Well, thank you, Bianca, for stopping by. Of course, coming down the hall. And Kerrigan and Kim for stopping by WCVE and being here.
Thank you
so much for having us.